Welcome to You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker, a podcast to encourage and equip moms along their parenting journey. Join Sarah each week as she interviews dads and moms like you and discusses the joys, challenges, and rewards of raising kids.
Hi, and welcome to this week's You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I'm talking with Christina Schnack-Kotlis. She is a mom. She's also a two-time brain cancer survivor and author of a new book, I Quit, Facing Cancer with Faith, Family, and Friends. So welcome to my show, Christina.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah.
Now, you have, how many children do you have? Three children, right?
Three children.
And yep. you homeschool them. And we're recording this in mid-May just because we're probably going to talk about the coronavirus pandemic, and I like to give a little when we're recording this. So you already homeschool, so your children are home all the time. So is this any different, just mom to mom, with the pandemic? Because my kids go to public school, and they're all home, and it's been okay, but I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't want summer to start early.
The educational part of it did not change. We belong to a co-op, so as part of our co-op, we're gone on Mondays, and we have other teachers, and we were able to move very quickly to Zoom because we have a lot less kids than public school.
Right.
So it was easier to coordinate. But I keep telling people that what we're doing right now is not homeschooling, it's crisis schooling. That's true whether you're a public school parent or a homeschool parent, because my kids aren't used to being, they're home a lot, but we have activities and scouts and sports and church, and so they're feeling that isolation too. And in terms of, you know, kids just feeling the anxiety that their parents are feeling, as, you know, maybe dad or mom are furloughed and as their schedule has changed and they're not certain if they're going to get to have that summer job, if they're going to get to go to camp. I think that we're all dealing with a certain level of anxiety and a certain level of loss, you know, of opportunities that we've lost and activities that we love that we've lost. And so, no, it's definitely different, and I keep trying to tell people this is not what homeschooling feels like, because we actually love homeschooling, but it usually doesn't feel quite this isolated.
Right, and I know lots of homeschoolers, and I kind of knew this, that it wasn't, just because you say homeschool doesn't mean that you're home and you never leave your house, and so everything's going to be fine. Right. And on the flip side, I also was not talking about, oh, I'm homeschooling my children now. I am not homeschooling my children now. They happen to be home, distance learning. So yeah. I think there's just a difference, and I love your crisis schooling kind of thing, because that's what we're all doing. We're all trying to navigate this new normal, and as a parent, you know, as a mom, you know, it has been, you mentioned that anxiety, it has been, you know, part of our job to kind of help our kids navigate this, because they have feelings. Some days they're okay, and some days, you know, they're really missing their friends. And whether your kids are extrovert or introvert, you know, this is still bothering them. Like my introvert daughter, she's like, the house is always crowded. Nobody's ever, my younger two boys are outside sometimes, but she's like, everyone's always here. I said, I know, I'm feeling that as an introvert. I'm like, oh, I have no space by myself. So we're all just trying to kind of get through that. And I think our topic today, gratitude journaling, and I wanted to talk about that because I think no matter what you're going through, and we're all going through this together, gratitude is such an important way to kind of help balance that anxiety.
It really is. You know, I had the opportunity to speak with Dr. Chan Hellman, who is a researcher that does the science of hope out of the University of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
It is fascinating because they can actually quantitatively measure hope and its impact on our mental state, on our ability to succeed. He was telling me that a child's hope index score is a better predictor of if they'll be successful in life, in college, in their career, than their SAT score. And so giving our children this ability to have hope and putting hope into practice in our families isn't just something that's going to get us through coronavirus. It's something that's going to get us through life. And I think that's so great.
So, I totally agree, Christina. And some of the ways, and I think it's, let me back up. I think it starts giving our children the hope. I think it starts with how we talk about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, and there is something to, and I'm not saying that, you know, there is something to that positive mindset. Not to put a rosy glow on and say, everything's fine, kids, you know, in that, you know, voice that everyone knows that you're not really fine. You're just on that edge about to go off. No, I mean that, you know, we know God is in control. We know this is hard. We understand this, but we do have hope. And whether we go back to school or not, we can have, you know, this year, earlier before they changed everything, we can have that hope that, you know, yeah, we can have that hope for the future. Do you find that, you know, kind of adjusting how you talk as a mom has been really helpful to your children?
I do think that it's very helpful when we talk to our children to frame things in a way that shows them we're authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this process of gratitude journaling really started for us with my second cancer diagnosis.
Mm.
And we had to deal with a lot of disappointment because we knew it was coming back. Our doctors had never told us it's not going to. They had always told us when it comes back. But we thought that with the surgery, we did 16 hours of brain surgery, six weeks of brain radiation, and like the maximum amount of radiation I could have. And we really thought we had bought 7 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we really only got 3.
Oh.
And so there was some mourning that had to go on.
Yeah.
There was some disappointment that was human. And what we told our children was, listen, this just stinks. It's awful. And we're going to acknowledge that. That this just, I mean, we're going to let you say it. This just sucks, right?
Yep.
But then we're going to choose to focus our attention elsewhere. And I think that's so powerful because it lets your kids know, like, yes, it's bad. Yes, there are some things happening I don't want to have happen, but we have the power to make a choice about what we focus our attention on.
Yeah.
And so
I
think that it's really bad. I think that that's really important. And I think that the gift you can give your children, and, you know, I think we see that in Habakkuk. Like, if you're in the Word, there's this very minor pop. And I think there's only like 3 chapters in the book, but at the end, Habakkuk has this moment where he knows that God's power is not diminished because we face trials. And we can see the problem. We can know that God is greater than the problems that we're facing. And that's what we want to give our children with this practice, is to see the problems and say, yes, I see the problem. I see the obstacle. I see the thing I don't like. But I can choose to overcome that because I can trust God to be greater. And so when we're gratitude journaling or counting your blessings or whatever it is you want to call it in your family, what we're really doing is acknowledging that the good in our lives is so much greater than the fear, than the anxiety, than the problem that's in front of us. And so that's the practice that we started doing with our kids. And I think giving them agency, like, back,
mm-hmm.
is so important. And so that's what I hope it will give people. Now, whether we're still dealing with coronavirus or whether we're just moving back into whatever season of life we're in, I think giving your children that agency and that ownership over the choice of their feelings is really important.
Yeah, and I think just acknowledging, you know, like we told our kids, like, yeah, I know, this is awful. You know, we're not happy about it, but it is what it is. You know, and you're right, and we have a choice here. We can be upset about it all the time, or we can try to make the best of it. And sometimes that's just what we have to do. We have to choose to make the best of it.
Yeah, and sometimes, so my degree is actually in comparative religious studies. And in Judaism, there's a prescribed period of mourning for everything. Like, if you lose a child, it's this long, and if you lose a parent, it's this long. and I'm not comparing losing a sports season to losing an actual person, but I did, from learning about those Jewish customs of mourning, learn that there is an appropriate amount of time to mourn something, and then we need to stop. Mm-hmm. And so that's something we've tried to practice, too. We're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We just got this really bad diagnosis. We're going to take 48 hours, and we're going to be angry, and we're going to eat ice cream, and we're going to watch movies, and we're going to be ticked off. And then at the end of that time, we're going to stop. And that doesn't mean that every day is going to be perfect and we might not have those emotions come back to us, but we're going to say, no, you know, we had this period where we got angry and upset and we did all of those things, and now we're choosing joy. We're choosing happiness, and we're going to choose those things because we have put those negative feelings away. And so I think that that can be really helpful as well. And it's something I practiced throughout my cancer as well, when I felt the anxiety and the fear overwhelming me, because sometimes it can be really mm-hmm. hard to fight those negative feelings constantly. I would set a timer on my iPhone and go sit in the bathroom and just cry. And I would have all the negative thoughts. I would have all the worst case scenarios. And then when my timer went off, I would wash my face off, and I would say to the negative emotions and the fear and the anxiety and the pain, I heard you, but I'm not choosing you. Mm. And that really let me let go of it. And that's something that we've practiced with. One of our children has an anxiety disorder just by nature. And that's one of the things we've worked with him on, is, okay, let's go through the worst case scenario. Let's take this all the way to the worst possible logical conclusion we could come up with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a B on your math test, right? So obviously you're going to end up living in a box in D.C. homeless because Harvard's not going to let you in, you know?
Right.
Just, we let him go all the way down that path, and then we go, okay, you know, we've heard that thought. We've heard that anxiety thought process. Now let's think about what's more likely, and we go from there. But getting back a little bit to the gratitude journaling, because I know that's what you really wanted to talk about.
No, yeah, it's fine. This is all good.
One of the things I really want to encourage people about gratitude journaling is that it doesn't have to be a journal. Because I feel like, especially right now in the midst of the quarantine and people's kids coming home and schedules being off and daycare being closed, nobody's like, oh, what I really want to do right now is pick up one more thing that I have to do. And I think a journal, like a book, can be a little overwhelming for people that aren't authors, right? So for mm-hmm. some of us, we really love to write. But for other people, that's just a notebook that you have to fill up. And it's anxiety-inducing. And it doesn't have to be that at all. So when I say gratitude journaling, what I'm really saying is we're going to create a record. We're going to create some evidence that things have been good. And the reason we're going to do that is because things are not always good. And we want to be able to be logical, and we want to be able to say to our kids, listen, things are not good right now, but they have been good in the past. And so we can look at that as a pattern of evidence for the fact that things will be good again, because that's how science works, right? We look mm-hmm. at what has happened in the past, and we use that as a predictor for the future. So for some families, that might look like a journal. In our family, we have a blessings journal, and we sit down every night before we say our prayers, and we ask everyone what their blessing was, and there's no blessing too small. If your kid says something like, I saw a cloud that looked like a unicorn today, that's a great blessing. If that made their heart happy, that goes in there. If it's, you know, I got to FaceTime with my friends today, and that made me feel less alone, that's great, too. And so there's nothing too big or too small that we don't record. And we just got in the practice of it. And for us, that book is where we go to look. You know, if one of our kids is having a really bad day, or their anxiety is really high, or they're feeling really discouraged, we're able to look back and go, hey, you know, just last week, this great thing happened to you. Or, hey, just last month, you got to do this thing that really made you happy and made you grateful. And we have that pattern of evidence. For some families, that might be, I know some families that write on marbles or little stones and keep them in a jar so they can see them easily. And I even had a friend who, during quarantine, decided she was going to do a poster. And so she just got the most obnoxious yellow piece of poster board she could get, and she duct taped it to the sliding glass door in her kitchen, And anytime something positive or a blessing or something they were grateful for happened, they wrote it on the poster board. And that's become their way of having evidence that even in quarantine, things can still be good. So I just want to encourage people that it doesn't have to look like a journal. If the idea of a journal makes you feel overwhelmed or anxious, it can look like whatever is good for you. It's just recording it and having that evidence that's really important.
And I love that you said about going back to that evidence. Mm-hmm. Because just writing it down is, I mean, that's good. But if you never remind yourself of that, it kind of loses some of the power that it has. And I don't mean power in a mystical sense, but that good power that it has to remind us. Because we're all about, what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and our kids are like that. One of the things that I've done with my kids, and I still do, especially when they were younger and not getting along so well,
mm-hmm.
I would remind them when they're complaining about sibling X. I say, well, you know, sibling X did this for you. Don't you remember? And usually it was like just yesterday. Sometimes it was like an hour before, whatever. And they'd already forgotten, you know, a simple thing. Well, you know, before some of the kids could read, well, remember, your sister did sit down and read you like 6 books yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. So maybe you're not so ticked off at her today. Just that kind of reminder, because our hearts really need that constant reminder of what was good. Because, mm-hmm. you know, of the sin in our hearts, we always just kind of go, woe is me, when in reality, most of us, even in quarantine, have it pretty good.
We really do. And I think there's so much truth in what you're saying about the reminders. And one of the things I like to do when I'm talking to people in person is I give them 2 balloons. And this sounds like a silly exercise until you realize the end. And so I have them blow 1 balloon up. And then the other balloon, I have them write something down that they're grateful for from that day and put it in the balloon and then blow it up. And the balloons are supposed to be happiness, because I like to make a distinction between happiness and joy. Because happiness is what happens when you, like, watch a video of puppies on YouTube, right? You're happy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help it. It washes over you, and you're like, oh, look at the puppies. But joy is a choice. And so happy can get taken away. And so I have them pop the first balloon, and the happy is gone, and that's it. There's nothing but scraps left on the table, right?
Yep.
But with the second balloon, when you pop it and the happy is gone, there's still that record. You still have the piece of paper. You still have what you wrote down. And so you're able to look back, and you're really able to have the evidence that something happened. And we see this all through Scripture, right? Where,
mm-hmm.
you know, as the Israelites go into a new place, they'll erect a monument of stones. And it's so they can go back and have evidence. Like, hey, God did this great thing for us here. Or this is where this tremendous thing happened, where we crossed this river, where we defeated this enemy, where, you know, Israel met with God and wrestled with him. And that's why they would erect these stones, so that they could remember what happened. And we can do that in our own lives by just keeping track of the amazing things that God puts in our lives. Even if they seem small today, tomorrow they might be greatly significant. And when you're really having a crisis in your family, they can be exactly what you need to hold yourselves up and remember that things have been good before and they can be good again.
And even in the midst of crisis, I think it is important. Yes, we can recognize that, yes, this is a terrible situation that we're in, but there's still, when we look for it, when we purposely look for it, we can still see those blessings, those things to be grateful for in the midst of it all. And I think when we kind of start looking for that, and we encourage our kids and our spouse to look for that as well, then we can approach it as, yeah, this is a bad situation, but let's see, what are some of the good things that we see here? And once you start naming them, we're often surprised at how many we can find in a situation mm-hmm. that on the surface, and, you know, and it's not saying, you know, again, we're not saying that we're not in a bad, you know, we're not discounting the hard times that people have, that situations mm-hmm. that are really hard. But yet, God does help us to find the blessings and some joy and happiness in those times.
He really does. And I think, I always joke that I'm not trying to win the Suffering Olympics by bringing up the brain cancer thing, and I'm really not. But my point is more that if I can have brain cancer and my family can find joy and gratitude and blessings, I feel like your family can too. And I think of it kind of like a spiritual discipline, like gratitude as a spiritual discipline. And so it's something we practice, and you can start practicing right now. Even if it feels like your life is in shambles, start practicing now and keep practicing when it gets better. So the next time things get bad, because life is a roller coaster, right?
Yes.
No one has a flat ride in life.
Right.
So that, you know, almost like muscle memory will be there for you to be like, I see that there's this negative thing happening, but I'm going to go to joy. I'm going to go to peace. I'm going to go to these places because I've practiced going there. And it's also, there's something powerful, I think, about doing it at the end of the day. I mean, you can gratitude journal at any point in your day, but I think there's something so powerful about ending your day and purposefully choosing gratitude. Because that means instead of ending your day and going, oh, I didn't get everything done I wanted to do today, or, oh, you know, I never did change that laundry, or, oh, I really didn't get the homework done that I wanted to get done, then you're able to say, actually, I'm focusing on the blessings from my day. I'm focusing on being joyful. I'm focusing on gratitude. And so I'm ending my day. I'm going to sleep, and I'm ending on a positive note, even if the day itself ended and wasn't so fantastic. And so I think that that's really a great thing to do, and to end your day with that feeling instead of ending your day feeling disappointed or frustrated.
Yeah, I often, at the end of my day, I often think, it's almost like a prayer, you know, thank you for helping me to accomplish what you wanted me to accomplish today. You know, talking to God, because you're right, our to-do list, you know, there's often times when I didn't check anything off of it, and yet I know that I did what, I took care of, put out the fires sometimes, you know, that God put in my life that day, and at the end of the day, that's just as good as if I checked everything off, you know, doing my calling as a mom, sometimes, you know, or whatever it is. Sometimes I feel like I've just run from morning to night, and I'm like, what did I do? I can't, there's nothing concrete, and yet I know that if I've tried to, you know, do what, take care of what he has given me to take care of that day, then that's really, I can have joy in that.
You really can. And one thing I come back to a lot is there's a great kind of a letter in Jesus Calling for people that have read it before. And if you haven't read it before, these are kind of like notes from Jesus to you, is the concept of the book. And it's February 15th, and I actually read it right before I went in for my MRI to confirm that my cancer was back. And the note says something along the lines of, stop telling me what to do and focus on what I'm already doing. And that was so powerful for me, because it's really tempting, especially if we're in a crisis situation, to start assigning tasks to God, right?
Mm.
To say, God, I need these schools to open back up tomorrow because I need these children to go back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or to say, God, my son is hanging on by a thread, and that thread is the football season. So I need football season to happen. Or whatever it is. You know, God, I need to go back to work. I need you to get the governor to open the state back up. And it's really tempting to do that because we think we know what God needs to do. But this was an invitation to stop telling God what to do, because he is in control and he knows what he's going to do. He knows what the answer is. And to focus instead on what he's already doing. And so sometimes that looks like asking yourself questions that might feel really trite when you're doing them initially, but you just are doing it to get the ball rolling. So things like, if I woke up tomorrow and I only had what I thanked God for tonight, what would I want to wake up for? Because those things are really the blessings in your life. So things like your spouse, your children, the roof over your head, the food in the fridge. You know, if you are having trouble finding your blessings, start with those things that you would want to make sure you had tomorrow, because those are all blessings in your life right now. And so that helps reframe for you that God is doing things right now. We just have to open our eyes to them. And that can be hard because we really do want things to turn out the way we want them to turn out. And that's not the outcome that we're guaranteed. So I think that reframing that way can be really helpful too.
And I love that, Christina. And that is a perfect way to end our program. I will give you a chance. Is there any last words you would like to say to our listeners today?
I just really encourage you to find the joy in your life and in your children's lives, even when it's hard. And just keep going and know that we can get through this.
Thank you. You've been listening to You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking to Christina Schnack-Kotlis. She is a two-time brain cancer survivor and author of the book, I Quit, Facing Cancer with Faith, Family, and Friends. And you can find out more about how to connect with her with this podcast.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast of You've Got This with Sarah Hammerker. Sign up to receive notification of new podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerker.com. Until next time, remember, parenting might be hard sometimes, but don't worry, you've got this.